Hello and welcome to the Halfway Project podcast. My name is Becky, and sitting across from me is Cedric Sky City, and you are listening to yet another episode. This is an audio only one, so if you're going to look for it on the YouTube channel, you won't find it. It's audio only, so tell your friends to subscribe to this podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. But for our listener who is listening now, welcome, 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 and welcome once again.
Welcome, one and all.
You looked a little lost there.
Yeah, it was a little silent. I needed to fill in the dead space.
I said too many welcomes. You ran out of words to use.
Right. You know, that is the number one rule of radio, is to never let there be dead space.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I crept in.
Well, good. Well, we're not going to keep you hanging on too long. We're going to tell you now what our topic is today. We got a listener mail some time ago, and she might be listening now, whoever had written in. And we had read the email, of course, then. But she had asked a very interesting question that we wanted to address in a proper episode as opposed to just listener mail. And this was from Cynthia, and she had written in some time ago, but I'm just going to read the one segment from her email that we're going to discuss today. She had written, "Talking about culture can be really difficult, but I just wanted to write this in case there were other people who come from multiple different cultural backgrounds. I also recently read a book by another Malaysian Chinese author, and she discussed her relationship with her identity. To others, it may seem like the many facets of it was just too confusing and should be considered an identity crisis, but she called it an overcrowded identity. It meant that she knew exactly who she was, but that her explanation of her identity changed depending on what she knew about the other person. My question is, do you feel like you have an overcrowded identity as well? If so, how do you deal with it?" Does that make sense?
I think so. So let's get on the same page with the overcrowded identity so that I can understand it correctly. So yeah. Is it when you have multiple, I guess, cultural influences and it sort of affects how you present yourself and how you view yourself?
I think so. Like, so let's say, for example, like you and I having, we would say, American influences, also Korean influences. We know that heritage speaking, I'm white American and Korean, you're black American and Korean. And those already have two very different types of cultural backdrops. And the way that we explain ourselves to other people kind of changes dependent on how that person or the scope of their understanding, right? So for example, sometimes when we meet people and they in Korea, let's say, and they're just like, "Oh, are you American?" And we say, "Oh, we're Korean, half Korean." Right? Then it's like, ah, okay, got to click. Now I know what to expect from you. But when you meet other people who might have a more understanding of the American, you know, heterogeneous landscape, then you might be able to say like, "Oh, also, like my dad's white, you know, my mom's Korean, his dad is black American and his mom is Korean." And then people with a more understanding of what America might look like would be like, "Oh, I get it. Okay, so you guys also have different backgrounds going on here, right?" And I think for us, it's almost pretty straightforward when you consider some people who build into their identity very many different cultural backgrounds, which I gotta say, I don't think was as prevalent growing up as it seems to be now.
It's like a trendy thing.
I don't like to say that, but yeah, it is a bit odd to, I guess to me, it's a bit odd when growing up, it felt like I was the only person claiming, you know, or dealing with multiple, two different identities against this landscape of just all white people, right? Who would just be like, "I'm white." Or if maybe not even talk about it, they would just point out how you were different, Becky. You know what I mean? And then now when I explore social media, which of course is just a very small pool of how the general population might be feeling. But when I explore it, everyone seems to be like, "I am Polish, Portuguese, Native American on my grandmother's side and on my father's side." And I have to ask myself, because I check myself, because my first instinct is like, Yeah, but you don't really know what all of that means. Again, mm-hmm. this is just my cynicism, having experienced fighting so hard to claim and understand my culture.
Yeah.
And we have so many people now, it feels like, just kind of tossing it in there and being like, these are all the things that make up who I am, but didn't have to fight to be accepted.
Yeah. You know, I kind of do that just for the fun of it sometimes.
What do you
because
mean?
Because everyone knows I'm half Black and half Korean,
mm-hmm.
right? But technically, I'm only 37.5% Black, 12.5% Cherokee Indian,
yeah,
and half Korean.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I throw, you know, the Cherokee in there.
Yeah.
But to your point, I don't know too much about the history and the culture of that.
Right.
You know, so I tend to leave that out in most contexts because not that it's irrelevant, but it kind of... I don't mean this in a bad way, but it kind of is irrelevant most of the time in a sense of like, yeah, it doesn't mean too much to me because I don't know too much about it. I didn't grow up around it. Yeah, I'm too far removed from it.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like, I guess a lot of Caucasian people in the United States, they either are directly from like one area in Europe, or they might be from like, I don't know, Poland and Germany or something like that. But most white people that I've come across, they don't really break themselves down that way because they're too far removed from it.
That's
they're just
right.
American.
So the question is it relevant or meaningful to be part of your identity? Can you claim it? It does come down to this
yeah.
question.
I mean, when it comes to like scholarships and stuff, you know, yeah, no, but, no, I think in one hand, like with where I am and where how far I've come in my understanding of identity, it hasn't been as relevant, right? Though it's been something that I've known ever since I was a kid because my dad has told me, but it wasn't something that he just instilled in me. I think it was just sort of a cool fact that he told me, right? And my grandfather, his dad, was half Cherokee. But I think it is all, it's something that I could look into and sort of dive into, but again, it would be from more of a curiosity standpoint, not from a I feel connected to a standpoint, because I don't.
Right.
And I don't think I ever will.
Right, right.
And I think that's okay, you know, because I didn't grow up around it. There's no influences.
I think that this comes down to culture is taught and what cultures were taught in your household, right? I think is very significant to the claim of identity that you can have on a certain culture.
Yeah.
Or heritage. Because we know, I mean, blood isn't everything, but it is, it's good that you know that and you recognize that, but also does it really play a part in forming who you are as a person, culturally speaking, I guess. So I guess in that sense, maybe it's my own beef against people on social media, but I mean, I think about the people who are claiming so many different cultural heritages.
Yeah.
And then I have to wonder, like, but if you went to Scotland, let's say, with your 1/4 of Scottish heritage that you're so proud of, would you really be willing to put in the work to understand what that means?
Right.
You know, would you really be wanting to accept the good and the bad of what that might mean to you?
Right.
I don't know. Again, I can't point out fingers at everybody. I'm just saying this is a trend that I noticed, which does seem to be somewhat backed up by the recent census report that came out that said for the first time, America has more mixed people than white. But this is according to how people mark themselves on the census, right?
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Interesting, right? So that then breaks down to what are you now defining as mixed? Feels like the first half of my life, everybody was like so against mixed people. And now it's like the second part of my life, it's like a trendy, cool thing.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that in a different episode. But I think all of this ties into that first question of overcrowded identity. So how do you describe yourself to the other person who's viewing you with the understanding of what that person, the scope of their knowledge about you and your culture, right?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, for example.
Do we have trouble with that?
I don't think I have trouble with it. I don't think I ever really had trouble with it. I guess more of my challenges was more internal in how I perceived how people perceived me more so. But let's just say, for example, I think this is how I would probably introduce myself in the States if I go and, you know, I'm hanging out with a bunch of Black people. I'd say, yo, I'm half Black. I'll probably lead in with that and then say half Korean. Whereas with Koreans, I'll lead in with half Korean.
Exactly.
And that's just the most basic, I guess, way for me to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it's, I think on a subconscious level, it's like, hey, I'm one of you, accept me. Mm-hmm. That's why I do that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because you go throughout your life, at least a lot of people do, not everyone who's mixed, but you go throughout your life sort of wanting to prove that you are part of the group, you know? And so I think that's where that comes from. And also, not only that, but I think it's the human nature to want to know that you're part of a community and to know that there are similarities and commonality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's how I would probably introduce myself.
Right. I will agree with you. I think the concept of overcrowded identity, if I'm understanding what Cynthia was asking or what this writer was saying, I guess it comes down to when you break down your cultural identity into multiple different things that not everyone can grasp and understand, and then how you transfer the information to somebody else, which I think in our case maybe is not too difficult to do, because what are the two main cultures that we're drawing from, right? Mm-hmm. Korean culture that we learned from our mom, and then here in Korea where we are living now. And then in my case, white American, right? Whatever mm-hmm. that culture might look like, and the right. things that I've learned from that side growing up.
Right.
So I don't think it is as difficult, or it's not so much a strain on the brain to figure out, like, how am I going to lead in here and tell you, you know, because to some degree, everyone gets it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even here in Korea, even if it is using kind of slightly different terms, like, for example, when they ask me, like, are you one of our people? Like, would you not have thought of money to tell? Like, they ask you
right.
that. And I always say, oh, I'm half Korean, my mom is Korean, and my dad is American. I say it like that. 우리 아빠는 미국 분이세요, right? But in the States, or people who are English speakers or Americans, if you ever say, like, oh, I'm half Korean and half American, you're going to have some people who would be like, what do you mean half American? What are you trying to say by that? Right.
Yeah.
So in that case, judging on the knowledge or the understanding of your audience, you kind of change the way you describe your identity.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I would never say I'm half American, but I guess depending on, and this is sort of how, I guess, how you view it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at America as a national identity, no, you can't be just half American, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we hold American citizenship. We're Americans,
mm-hmm.
right? We may not fit the mold of what people stereotypically think of as American, or regard mm-hmm. as American, as like white people. That'll be usually the first thing they'll think of.
Right, right. And it's the same case in the UK as well.
Mm.
When you say, oh, I'm half British, people will be like, oh, are you saying all British people are what? You
right.
know, stereotypically, you have this concept.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just would never, like, you know, personally say that. Like, I'm half American.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think in Korea, though, in the context, it's a little different, because they do more so relate or connect your ethnic identity to your nationality
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
more so. And for Koreans, I feel confident to say that most of the time, if you say American in the Korean's mind, they'll think of a white person first.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, in your case, when people ask you,
mm-hmm.
do you say, like, oh, 아빠는 미국 분이라고?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, most of the time. And then if they're confused, I'll say he was like, 흑인.
You yeah. say it like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I haven't had to say it much, uh-huh. but I think they kind
of
get it.
Of course.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay. Maybe they have to sort of, you know, I guess in their mind just say, oh, okay, wait, so he's obviously not half white, so they'll uh-huh. probably assume I'm something else.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Overcrowded identity is a new term that I have not come across. And when I do a quick Google search, I don't see it used mm-hmm. frequently. And I have to wonder if it is kind of just a term that has now appeared with this newfound revelation of everyone wants to be mixed race, right? And having mm-hmm. some way to I don't know what I'm wanting to say, but almost like make it okay to have so many different cultures and identity factors that you can't explain to every single person
mm-hmm.
at the beginning. But I mean, I understand identity is a very complex thing. So overcrowded identity, not too much that I have to say about it, because I don't think we ourselves really struggle too much with it. And I have to wonder if it will become a more commonly heard or applied term in the future.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I have anything else to say. Do you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I don't. I just hope that we interpreted that message
Yeah, I hope
the way
so.
It was intended to. She's like, what are they talking about?
A totally different definition. Yeah. Well, thank you for asking that question, Cynthia. I know it was a bit of time ago when you asked it, but we've been thinking of it since. And so this was just kind of our quick response to that. And if you guys are listening to this podcast and you've got your own comments to make about what we were talking about, what to you overcrowded identity is, have you heard this term? What does that mean? You can always get in touch at thehalfwayproject@gmail.com. And of course, if you've got your own questions or, you know, something else that you'd want us to talk about, yes, be sure to email us. Since this episode was a bit short, I do have listener mail. Some time ago, we got this email from a long-term listener and supporter, Claudia. And she was writing us in regards to the 5 things to love about being mixed from a half Korean video that we released some time ago. And it's a lovely email, and it was really well received. So this is what she had to say. Hello, Becky. And I'm assuming you're also included in this title.
She wasn't thinking of me. It's all good.
I really liked this podcast. Oddly enough, I identified completely with all 5 points that you made. It was so surprising to me because I'm not half Korean. I am Black American, descended from African people brought to America as slaves. I think the reasons you gave apply 100% to almost any person who exists as part of a subgroup within a society that identifies with a different majority. In my case, I think that traveling and then ultimately living outside the US made me understand very clearly that I exist in 2 worlds. I am American in my overall outlook on life. However, my cultural identity definitely is influenced and shaped by being Black American. Just as you learn to communicate with others who are different from you, be it culturally, linguistically, racially, so did I. Given the context or situation, sometimes I am received more as an American than I typically am at other times. For example, just yesterday during a staff meeting, I was literally the only one among my non-US colleagues who got the joke that our US-based VP made. As a Black American working in corporate America, the ability to code switch and even approach or work through certain situations from the other side is an absolute mandatory skill. Again, I identified with all your points, obviously not as a half Korean, but as a person who is part of an entire community that straddles 2 worlds as an everyday reality. I really like the work you do and the energy that you bring to it. Also, congratulations once more on your engagement to Cedric. You two make a fantastic couple, and I wish you both all the best. Take care, Claudia, self-professed crazy Black American Ajma.
Claudia did think about me. She threw my name in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course. Claudia, thank you so much for writing in. You know, she always leaves these great comments on our YouTube videos. And another thing that I've always really loved and appreciated from Claudia is when someone writes a really mean comment on my channel, it's like she gets what I want to say in response, but I feel like I can't say it because I don't want to throw myself out there. And she comes in and she's like, actually, I'm pretty sure Becky meant this. I'm like, that's right, Claudia. That is what I meant.
Yeah.
She's reading my mind. Oh, that was wonderful to hear from you. Thank you for that email. And it is interesting. This is something that I've been realizing the more podcasts and videos that we've been releasing, that yes, it is called The Halfy Project. Yes, we do talk primarily about the half Korean experience, but there are so many people who relate at a deeper level beyond just what racially you might look like, mm-hmm. right? Or what culture that you are claiming. Because ultimately what we are discussing are very human issues concerning relationship and connection. And she makes a really poignant statement talking about being Black American and straddling these 2 worlds, especially at work, as she mentions here. And I was thinking, you know, actually we have a lot of Black listeners to our podcast and our YouTube channel. And I find that more often than not, we are connecting and relating on very similar points.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of, I guess, people who are from the quote-unquote non-majority group, okay, I guess the quote-unquote minority group. I still don't like that
term. The
term
minority.
Yeah, but they could definitely relate because that's something that we all have in common.
Yeah.
And also, most of the time, minority groups have a certain element of culture that maybe the majority doesn't have, mm-hmm. right? Whether it be from like our ethnic background or our cultural background, mm-hmm. Even though we are technically Americans, mm-hmm. we still have another element of culture that maybe the mainstream majority doesn't necessarily have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think from that angle, we can all relate in some way.
Mm.
And I totally get it. I think for a lot of Black Americans, they sort of learn how to, it's like, and this is a previous episode we did on Nunchi, but it's kind of a different type of Nunchi. Like Black Americans know how to navigate society, for example, like the corporate world, and and they sort of know what to say and how to say and how to operate in that sort of context and framework. Whereas a lot of people who are quote unquote in the majority, they don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the norm for them. But I think sometimes, we have to be able to function in order to be accepted, in order to be taken seriously, or in order to get that respect. We have to sort of navigate in a certain way, and it's not in all contexts, but it's the unfortunate reality. But Black people, it's a skill that we have.
Mm-mm-mm.
I think
Mm-mm-mm.
yeah
I think that's well said. And if anyone else would like to write in, if you've got your own comments to make, things that you love about our podcast, you are always welcome to write us at thehappyproject@gmail.com. Did I already say that earlier? I did, right? This is my second time.
That's saying all right.
Write into
more
us.
The merrier.
Yeah. And while I'm here, do send some love to the podcast. Leave us a couple stars and a nice review.
5 stars.
We'd appreciate it so much. Well, that's it. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. And we will see you next time. We are The Happy Project.